We're so glad to be here today. What a wonderful day to study God's Word. If you have your Bibles, would you please open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. I'll begin reading at verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Look at the word, come. That's an invitation. Unto me. That's an identification. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, that's a qualification. And I will give you rest. That's a liberation. Take my yoke upon you. That's an obligation. And learn of me. That's an education. For I am meek and lowly of heart. That's his humiliation. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's our great salvation. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's a great cooperation. Let's pray. Father, bless these minutes that we spend in thy word. Minister to the hearts of the hearers. We pray that if there's someone here today who knows not Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they might come to know him as such. We pray that Christians might be encouraged and strengthened, and that your servants would be equipped for the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For 21 years, I was a Lutheran. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I rang the bell every Sunday as a child in the bell tower. I was a member of the junior choir, and I was an acolyte, which meant that as the service would begin, I would march down a long aisle carrying a lighted taper. I would light candles in front of the sanctuary, and then at the conclusion, I would extinguish them. I did all those things, but I didn't know God. I was 21 years old when I heard the gospel for the very first time. It seems amazing, doesn't it? But I'm so glad I did hear it. And I'm so glad that God's word is true and it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now I believe that when I die and go to heaven, I'm going to be there because of what Jesus did for me. And I have a good suspicion I'm going to see Martin Luther there as well. See, Martin Luther wasn't following Martin Luther. He was following Jesus Christ as best he could with the light that he had. He stumbled upon the great and brilliant truth of Romans, the just shall live by faith. And that light illuminated the dark ages and opened up the way for multitudes to come to Christ. And I hope that this morning you can say, you know Christ, and that he's your personal Savior. Let's look this morning at these words of our Savior and see what is in it for us. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Years ago, when the Statue of Liberty was placed in New York Harbor, Emma Lazarus wrote a poem that is inscribed at the base of that statue today. She said, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shores, send these, the tempest tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. There are some people that say that that invitation has worn itself out. There are some who are very concerned today about all kinds of things. Our economy and perhaps our overcrowding in our cities and crime and they can give you many reasons why that that welcome is no longer to be extended. I don't know how you feel about that. I know that the Statue of Liberty still stands there, and I know that the torch is still lifted high, and I know that it is a symbol of hope and opportunity to countless numbers of people around the world. My mother was one who came into New York Harbor and saw that lady standing there. There are many who would suggest that those days are over, and we really need to look after ourselves. And I don't know what your feelings are, and it really doesn't matter, and what my feelings are probably best kept to myself. But I'll tell you one thing. Here's an invitation that is still extended. It's still vital. It's still real. It's still bona fide. It's just as precious today as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ first extended it. He said, come. Come. Of all the things that the gospel is, of all the things that we do when we gather in places like this to remember and worship our Savior, let us never forget that the gospel is one great invitation. Jesus says, come. And the Church of Jesus Christ lifts high the torch of God's eternal truth, and it will not be extinguished. Some would have the Statue of Liberty turn her back on the ocean and face inward, so that we might concern ourselves with our own problems and difficulties. We have some. But the Church dare not turn its back on the world. This assembly and other assemblies around America must every opportunity lift high that standard of truth and God's eternal word and say, come, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I hope that this is such a place that here as believers gather to celebrate their salvation, that they never forget that it began with a great invitation. Never was there an invitation so beautiful. It could have been embossed in gold and in fine stationery, and it never would be more beautiful than it is right here in your Bible. Come. Come unto me. And that's the message of the gospel. It's a message that says, come. That's the message of God's love that has been proclaimed from the beginning of the Bible to the end. And we need to be very careful that we do not forget that the gospel is a blessed invitation. As people come by and see this place, they should know that they are always welcome to come and hear God's word here, and that God loves them and God cares for them. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Some say tear the old lady down and sell her copper for scrap. Extinguish that torch. There's no need for it to shine anymore. Well, that might be the case if that's the way you see it for you. But the gospel still stands as a great invitation to everyone who will come unto God through Jesus Christ. The Bible begins with an invitation for Noah to come into the ark. It's an invitation, and he came, and he was saved, and his family, and all who would come with him could have been saved as well. You don't have to be a theologian or a PhD to know that this is the message of God, and it's still the same today. Come. And 25 years ago, I responded to that invitation, and I'm so glad that I did. And you can give a story and tell a testimony about when you heard the invitation and when you came. Jesus said, come. In the first book of the Bible, we hear the invitation. In the very last book of the Bible, we hear the invitation as well. In Revelation 22, in verse number 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. What's the gospel? What is this message that we proclaim? Well, first of all, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to come. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. Verse number 39. He saith unto them, come and see. Now turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21 and verse number 12. John 21. In verse number 12. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. The first chapter begins with an invitation to come and see, and the last chapter has an invitation to come and dine. The gospel is an invitation. And there we see the Lord of glory with arms outstretched saying, come. Oh, we need to remember that our Christian life began with an invitation. An invitation from God to come. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, said Isaiah, come. It's God's message for the world. It's God's message for you and for me. And the Lord Jesus spoke about it throughout his ministry as he told story after story. In Matthew 22, we know that story of the great marriage feast where the master sent out an invitation to say, come. Come to the wedding. Come to the feast. All things are ready. What is the gospel message? Well, first of all, it's a great invitation. It's an invitation to come. But it's more than that. Jesus said, come unto me. Look at it. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me. That's a great identification. We want people to come to church. And we invite people to come to church. And one day somebody invited me. And maybe you can remember one day when somebody invited you. But coming to church is not coming far enough. The gospel doesn't say come to church. The gospel doesn't say attend some service. The gospel says come unto me. Jesus Christ is the centerpiece. Jesus Christ is the purpose. Jesus Christ is the meaning. Oh yes, we want people to come to church. That's a good place to be. And there are people all over this country this morning who got up and got dressed and put on their finest and they went to church. That's great as far as it goes. But you know that's not far enough. Jesus said, come unto me. Christianity is Christ, crucified, buried, and resurrected. Peter said it this way, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No, it's not coming to a church. It's not coming to a religion. It's not coming to some denomination. It's not joining some convention. It's coming to Christ. You might not remember the first time you went to church. But I remember the day I came to Christ. I'll never forget it. Don't you? Say, Ingmar, I don't really remember that. Well, it's because you never came. No one comes to Christ but what he remembers it. For it's a life-transforming experience. Do you remember the day you came to Christ? Jesus said, come unto me. That's the great identification. John chapter 1 and verse 43. John chapter 1 and verse 43. And the following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Lots of people follow in a religion. Everybody has their religion. Everybody has their temple or their shrine. And they'll tell you about it if you listen long enough. Jesus said, no, follow me. Religious people of his day were busy about their religion and they had everything down perfect. The disciples visited the temple in Jerusalem that had been in building for 50 years and they were impressed. They said, Lord, look at this place. Look at this building. Jesus said, don't worry about this building. Every brick is going to come down tumbling. In 3 days, I will raise up another temple. What was Jesus saying? Follow me. Christianity can be explained in the simple two words, follow me. And not following a church, not following a man or a minister, and not following a tradition, not following heritage or culture. It's following Jesus Christ. And simple, plain, ordinary men got caught up in that proclamation of our Lord and that invitation to follow him. And they turned their back on their fishnets and set out to follow the Lord of glory. What are you people doing over here? We're following Jesus Christ. In everything that we do and in everything that we say, we're seeking to follow him. to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, follow me. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the centerpiece. He is the one that we follow. Are you following him? Are you following him? Somebody says, but what about this person? Never mind that person. What about those people? Jesus says, never mind those people. Christianity is following me, he said. Just follow me. Oh, my friend, your life will be transformed when you catch a vision of that simple invitation to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus says, follow me. And in everything that I do, I want him to have the preeminence. That's what a Christian is. You people think you're perfect. No, no. We're just following the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. Come, that's an invitation. Unto me, that's an identification. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, that's the qualification. What do I have to do to follow him? Well, the thing you have to do is realize that you're not unworthy, that you're a sinner. The thing that you have to do is to realize that in you, that is in your flesh, there dwells no good thing. The thing that you have to do is to feel the weight and the burden of your sin and your guilt, and salvation is for every such person that feels himself a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great physician. Jesus said, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. Someone who feels that sin sickness in their soul is qualified. Someone who will protest and say, oh, I'm a good person, will never know the good physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. That person who hears the cry of his conscience that condemns him and hears the declaration of God's eternal law is qualified. No, we don't have to be an Einstein. We don't have to be a PhD. The only qualification for knowing Christ and having eternal life is to feel the weight of your sin and see the need for the physician. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's what our country needs today. They need to have a sense of their sinfulness. And then they will cry out once again for God's mercy and for God's grace. Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you feeling the weight of sin? Well, Jesus Christ is the one that can do the work in your life to change all of that. Come, that's an invitation. Do you remember when you came? Is this assembly sending out that message? The young people that lean up against the cars in the parking lot the other day that I saw, not really knowing where to go in this world, probably hearing some of the gloom and the doom that their parents are discussing, do they know that they're welcome here? Jesus had come. Oh, where do we go? What do we do? Jesus says, follow me. He is the one that we need to follow. The only qualification is that they see themselves a sinner and want a Savior. And I will give you rest. That's the great liberation. There is no greater liberation known in all the world than this liberation. Do you remember when you were set free from your sin? Do you remember when God made it clear to you that all your sins were placed upon Christ? Do you remember when it became clear to you that you had a Savior? You should be the most enthusiastic person you ever met. Why? God has set me free. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Problem with some believers is they forgot that they were liberated.
I've been liberated, and I will give you rest. I can almost hear it now as the Lord of Glory comes down the hall and hear the clink of the keys on the ring as he opens the door and swings wide the door of darkness and unbelief and says, "You're free." Do you remember that? You were so happy. You couldn't contain yourself. Why? All my sins are gone. I've been set free. I've been liberated by Jesus Christ. He took all of my sins and my iniquities on himself, paid for them in full, and now I am free. Jesus said, "If the Son will make you free indeed." I just haven't gotten over it. God is so good. Have you been liberated? My friend, the joy of the Lord is on the countenance of the man who remembers that he has been set free. That's a great liberation. Christianity is an invitation. Come unto me. That's an identification. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, that's the only qualification. And I will give you rest. That's a great liberation. But wait a minute. Christianity is more. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." Christianity is also a great obligation. Oh, he's done so much for me. He's given me a new opportunity and a new chance. And that for me constitutes an obligation to live for him and serve him. Somebody says, "If I become a Christian, do I have to serve God?" My friend, if you become a Christian, we can't keep you from serving God. You're going to want to do everything. We're going to have to say, "Now, brother, you're just doing too much. You're just going to have to let somebody else do it, because everybody else wants the opportunity. If I become a Christian, do I have to attend services?" You become a Christian, it's going to be hard to keep you away. Why? Oh, God set you free, and you're so grateful, and you're so thankful. The Lord has set you free. "Take my yoke upon you." Yes, Christianity involves a obligation as well. Are you serving God? Are you seeking to do his will? Romans chapter 7 and verse number 5. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 5. "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit." Chapter 6 and verse number 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Once we served sin, now people can't stop us from serving God. There's an obligation. And some of you have caught the vision of that, and you're doing your best to serve him. Wait a minute. Christianity is more. Jesus said, "Learn of me." Is a great education. And we come, and each and every Lord's Day come and sit at the Lord's feet like Mary did and want to hear his words and know him. Christianity is a great education. Some of you have college degrees and advanced degrees, and that's wonderful. I have a couple myself. But you have no education. And we are as ignorant can be until we know the Lord of glory. For eternal life is knowing God. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 17 and verse number 3. John 17 and verse number 3. The Bible's definition of eternal life. Somebody says, "What's eternal life?" Well, that's when you die, you go to heaven. Is that what it is? No wonder young people aren't interested in it. They're not interested in dying and going to heaven. They're interested in living. They say, I'm 15 years old. Talk to me about eternal life in about 50 years. Yes, when we die, we go to heaven, but that's not just eternal life. An 18-year-old is not interested in dying and going to heaven and strumming a harp. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And what is eternal life? The Bible definition of eternal life is John chapter 17, verse number 3. And this is life eternal. What is it? That they might know thee. Eternal life is knowing God. You don't have to die to know God. You can know God today. You can know God now. This is life eternal, that men might know thee. And of course, the only way you can know God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. As God became flesh, that we might know Him. Christianity is an education. And when we become born again, when we become believers, one of the first things we want to do is learn of Him. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so we open up God's Word every day and we say, Lord, show me thyself and teach me. And open up the book of John. In chapter 1, I see he's the eternal Word. In chapter 2, he changes the water into wine. In chapter 3, he's the teacher sent from God. In chapter 4, he seeks this soul of mine. In chapter 5, he's the doctor. In 6, the living bread. In 7, he's the water. And in 8, I'm out of darkness led. In 9, he opens blinded eyes and all his judgments right. In 10, the good, kind shepherd. 11, resurrection light. In 12, I shout, Hosanna, for there he is a king. In 13, he teaches me how to serve, and in 14, how to sing. In 15, he's the vine of heaven, and in 16, the world is overcome. In 17, he kneels to pray for me, and in 18, the judgment has begun. In 19, he's my Savior hanging on a tree. In 20, he leaves behind an empty tomb, and in 21, a victory. Jesus said, learn of me. And oh, we come to do what? We come to learn of Him. Ah, what do we learn? One of the first things that we learn is found in Matthew chapter 11. I am meek and lowly of heart. There's His great humiliation. The Lord Jesus Christ does it God's way. A man's way is to push their way to the front of the line. Man's way is to say, me first. A man's way is to grab it all while you can. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly of heart. One of the great lessons that you and I need to learn about the Christian life is a lesson of humility. For there is the strength and the power of letting God be God in our lives when we're humble. I am meek and lowly of heart. We can learn all of the doctrines and all of the theology so that we can systematize it and put it in volumes on a bookshelf. But if we don't learn this great truth of humiliation and humility, we've learned nothing and we've never graduated from kindergarten. Oh, to God that our churches and assemblies were filled with men and women who master the truth of humility, preferring the other before themselves. And see our Savior take the basin and the towel and wash the disciples' feet. Wow. See, greatness in this world is measured by how many people work for you. Greatness in God's economy is how many people you work for. In this world's economy is how many people serve you. In God's economy is how many people you serve. Therefore, every one of us has a shot at greatness. We can just serve and serve and serve each and every one that has a need. Jesus said, come. That's an invitation. Unto me, that's an identification. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, that's the qualification. And I will give you rest. That's the great liberation. Take my yoke upon you. That's an obligation. And learn of me. That's the education. I am meek and lowly of heart. and you shall find rest unto your soul. That's the great salvation. The great rest that God offers you and me is salvation from sin. And I hope that you go out of here this morning and say, I know I'm saved and I have God's great salvation, a rest for my soul. And you can if you trust Him this morning as your Lord and as your Savior. Then he concludes by saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a great cooperation. You cannot live the Christian life in your own strength. Neither can I. You see, becoming a Christian and becoming a part of the church is not by joining. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse number 13 of his letter, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Grace is God at work in me. That's why you can't be saved without grace. You are saved by God's grace. Grace is God working in you. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason it's light and it's easy is because God's grace comes with salvation. There are two places on the yoke. We're not supposed to do it alone. God never intended for us to do it alone. It's impossible for you to do it alone. God wants to be your strength. God wants to be your might. God wants to be your stay. God wants to be your victory. And when we see someone who is struggling all alone, pulling the plow, they haven't discovered the secret of God's grace. Let God carry the burden. Let God carry the load. Christianity is a great cooperation. Have you come to the place in your life where you responded to God's invitation? I hope so. God can't do it any more than he's done it to roll out a red carpet and blow trumpets. He says, come. Does he mean me? If you feel the weight of your sin, he means you. If you recognize yourself a sinner, and if you're honest, you do, God means you. And then Christianity is simply following Christ. Jesus said, follow me. Oh, my friends, this invitation is just as real and just as valid and just as bona fide today as it was when Jesus Christ first spoke it. And they may tear down the Statue of Liberty someday. Somebody might blow it up and haul it off to the scrapyard. Don't know whether they will or not. But this is an invitation that the world needs to hear. And you and I have been entrusted with it to deliver it. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that invitation you gave us. Thank you for working in our hearts to show us what we were and what we could be in Jesus Christ. I pray for those that are here. There's someone here today who came to church but never came to Christ. I pray that they might see that. Pray that they might follow him. I pray, dear Lord, that each and every one of us might feel the privilege of proclaiming the gospel message and giving this invitation out to those around us, realizing that it is your strength and your power and your grace that saves, supplies, and sustains. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you.